Amen. Thank you. Thank God. Let's give God some praise for this meal. Chorus. Amen. Be what you are. Live the life. God knows your heart. Amen. And he is coming back. If more folks would live the life, what a better world it would be. If more folks would live the life, what a better church it would be. If more folks. Hallelujah. Amen. We certainly give honor to God for this marvelous opportunity to gather once again to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank God for these, my clerical colleagues who joined me on the rostrum as well as in the pew, to this wonderful choir under the direction of our Minister of Music, Deacon Thaddeus McCollum. To all of you, my brothers and sisters, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask that you would, as you pray this week, remember the family of Deacon Kerry Robinson, whose uncle, I believe, aunt, will be funeralized on Thursday in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we do thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for who you have been, not because of us, but in spite of us. Thank you, Lord, for you're a mighty good God, mighty great God, worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for calling me, Lord, to preach your word, then standing with me so that I'm able. I ask even now, Lord, you be with me. As I tell the truth about who you are and what you've done, pray in Jesus' name that somebody who may not know you may get to know you in the free pardon of their sin. Somebody who is bound, somebody who is hindered, somebody who is depressed might be liberated to know, God, that you're God of love, who's able to do all things but fail. Bless now the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, it is in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. For just a few minutes, I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture which was read earlier from Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. Jeremiah 18, beginning at verse number 1. According to the New King James rendering, you'll find these words: the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it up and plan it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. The word of God for the people of God. Sisters and brothers, if you ask people what God wants or expects of his children, some will tell you that God is looking for perfection because God is perfect, God is unblemished, God is holy, just, fair, and righteous. So he must be looking for that in his children. And God would have you to know that when he looks at the world, when God looks at humanity, when God looks at his people, he is looking for something. Whether we know it or not, whether we accept it or not, God is looking for something in us and from us. And we can see it in the text. Am I right about it? Because all of us are sinful. So God is looking for some flexibility. God is looking for flexibility. Amen. That's our sermon title. Thank you, ushers. Perhaps you are wondering, what does it mean to be flexible? It means capable of being bent or flexed, pliable, susceptible to divine influence or persuasion, responsive to change, adaptable, characterized by a readiness to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. Sisters and brothers, ever since the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve sinned, failed, and missed the mark, God has been trying to shape and reshape, mold and remold, make and remake men and women into the reflection of his divine nature, his divine image, and instill in them his divine personality. So God is looking for flexibility. If we're going to reach the mark, attain God's goal, realize God's divine will, and live lives worthy of his calling, and he has called all of us. That's why Peter wrote, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We all called, y'all, to walk in the newness of life. But if we are going to do that, we have to be flexible. If we are going to please God, honor God, exalt God, and spotlight God in our lives, we have to be flexible. If the church is going to lift up Jesus, magnify the Lord, glorify our God, and let our light shine and bless his holy name, it has to be flexible. If God is going to get the glory, get the honor, get the credit, we have to be flexible. If we are going to do his work, work his will, serve our Savior, promote his message, and carry his mission, we have to remain flexible. Tell your neighbor, God is looking for flexibility. God, sisters and brothers, wanted to talk to Jeremiah and give him a message, but he did not want to do it where he was. So he sent him down to the potter's house. The first point God wants you to know, and the text communicates to us, that sometimes God has to get us to a place or at a place where he can talk to us. This won't be popular, but sometimes it can be a hospital bed. Sometimes it can be a jail cell. Sometimes it can be an unemployment line. And sometimes it can be a place where you are not comfortable and you don't want to be there. But when you get there, God has your full attention. Now, if truth be told, God would prefer talking to his people in the temple, in the sanctuary, in the synagogue, or in the church. But sometimes God has to get us to a place where he can have our undivided attention, so we can listen to what God is saying or is, has been trying to say. I believe there are witnesses or two in the Bible who can testify that God will sometimes take you to a difficult place. Jonah, where are you? Will you testify for us? Oh, yeah. God sent me down to Nineveh to prophesy, but I wasn't hearing that. And I decided to go to Tarshish, but God sent a storm. I was thrown overboard, ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days, and then I was ready to listen to what God had to say. God talked to the fish. Fish spit me out, landed on the shore, and a 3-day journey, and I made it in 1 day and told them just what the Lord had to say. Paul, where are you? Will you testify for me? Oh, yeah. I was on my way to Damascus to arrest Christians, but on the Damascus road, a bright light knocked me from my horse, and I heard God talking, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Up until that point, I did not want to hear anything Jesus had to say, but I ended up blind, unable to see. Then I heard Jesus say, I asked Jesus, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Sisters and brothers, if we don't listen to the Lord in here, there are some places where God will allow us to go that we will. Another thing that we can't help but see in this text is that God was not talking to strangers. They were not outsiders. They were not unbelievers. God was talking to his children. Israel, that's children. Jeremiah was at the potter's house because God had told him to go there, and he went. He observes the potter working on a pot made with clay, but there was something wrong with it. The text says it was marred in the hand of the potter. So he had to rework it, refix it, and reshape it because it was marred. If something is marred, it means it's been damaged due to a flaw. The dictionary says mar means to be bruised, harmed, impaired, ruined, scarred, spoiled, stained, tainted, tarnished, wrecked, blemished, blocked, bleak, defaced, deformed, dinged, disfigured, injured, maimed, mangled, mutilated, scratched, walked up, loused up, messed up, rust up, and shaken up. And if truth be told, all of us have had some mars. That's why Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, all of us got a mar. I don't know about you, but God has some work still to do on me and in me so he can work. James Cleveland knew something about this. That's why he sang, "Please be patient with me, because the Lord not through." Oh, y'all quiet in here. But God's still working on me. But no matter what may be wrong with us, God is able. God knows our nature. He understands our sinful ways. He knows we are wretched, we are undone, and he knows all about us. But Jeremiah said that God is able, like the potter, to do a new thing in our lives if we just let him. God is able to shape and reshape, make and remake, mold and remold, build and rebuild the lives of men and women to his glory if we remain flexible. Isn't he able? I'm not sure How you know he's able, preacher? Well, if God can take and make everything out of nothing, if God can take dust and make a man, if God can take a rib bone and make a woman, if God can take a virgin and make a baby, and if God can take a wood and make a cross and take a cross and save the world, God can do anything. I don't know about you. I don't know what your mar is or what you may be going through, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. He is able. Isn't he able? But we have to remain flexible, because when the clay becomes hard and inflexible, it has to be discarded. It has to be thrown away, because it's no longer able to be shaped by the potter. When God's children become inflexible, we can't be used by God. Am I right about it? Yes, when we are inflexible, God can't get us to go where he wants us to go. God can't get us to think what he wants us to think. God can't get us to act like he wants us to act. And God can't get us to do what he wants us to do. When the clay stiffens, hardens, and dries, it's no longer able to be used for anything. When God's people are hard-hearted, stiff, and dried out, they are no longer able to be used by God for his glory. That's why God wants us to come to him as little children. Children can be shaped and molded for the glory of God. That's why Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, except you be converted and come as a little child, you will by in no means enter." Y'all grown up. I'm 60 years old, but I'm a child. I don't know everything. Amen. I don't. I don't act like it. I don't walk around with my head up like I'm better. No. No. You ain't got to have no degree to teach me. Hallelujah. In the Bible, sometimes the children of Israel are referred to as stiff-necked, rebellious, and disobedient. This has to do with being unwilling to adapt and adjust to the will of God. And not being flexible has hampered, hindered, and curtailed dreams, stopped precious promises, handicapped limited possibilities, and undone godly plans. The blessings that God intends, the miracle that God wants to perform, the work that God wants to get done, and the ministry that God wants to accomplish are often put on hold because folks are not flexible. If it ain't this one, I'm not working with them. If it ain't this way, I'm not doing it. If we're going to get to the spiritual shape and get to the proper place that God wants us, we have got to be flexible. So God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house so he could talk to him. This encounter highlights God's ability and humankind's sinfulness. All of our lives, sisters and brothers, God is trying to shape us. God gave Jeremiah an inside view of what he was dealing with. He wanted to bless his people, but there was a mar in the vessel. Sin caused the mar in the vessel. Jealousy causes a mar in the vessel. Envy causes a mar in the vessel. Dissension causes a mar in the vessel. Hatred causes a mar in the vessel. Greed causes a mar in the vessel. Disobedience causes a mar in the vessel. Lying causes a mar in the vessel. Gossiping causes a mar in the vessel. And sowing seeds of discord causes a mar in the vessel. But I hear God saying something. I loved you so you could love others. But there's a mar in the vessel. I forgave you so you could forgive others. But there's a mar in the vessel. I blessed you so you could be a blessing for others. But there's a mar in the vessel. Sisters and brothers, God is looking for something in us that we can see in Him. God Himself is flexible. God tells Jeremiah, if a nation does wrong and I plan to punish them and they repent, I'm flexible. I'll reverse it. If they obey me and I plan to reward them, but they turn away from following me, I'm flexible. I'll reverse it. Sisters and brothers, if God were not flexible, there would be no mercy and we would receive no grace. Salvation would not be free. There would be no loving kindness and tender mercies for the psalmist to talk about. There would be no songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, or He Looked Beyond My Faults and Saw My Knees. Oh, God has smiled on me. He has been good to me. Oh, Jesus paid it all. Oh, to Him I know there would be none of that. Am I right about it? But God is flexible. That's why He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. God is flexible. That's why John wrote, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is flexible. That's why Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God is flexible. That's why the hymn writer wrote, we've heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. He will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. God has been flexible. That's why some of our testimonies are, I could be dead, sleeping in my grave, but God told death to behave. And some of our testimonies are, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, don't know where I would be. Since the Garden of Eden, God has been looking, hoping, wanting, seeking, and desiring something from men and women. After all, He made them. He fashioned them. He designed them. And He shaped them in His image and after His likeness. But all of us have been marred and need to be reshaped. reformed and remade at points in our lives if we can come to church mad and leave mad. Come bitter and leave bitter. Come with malice in our hearts and leave the same way. Come with judgmental spirits and go home with them. Come unwilling to work or accept certain people and go home the same way. We are marred and need to be remolded by the Master. But we gotta be flexible. When we come to God for reshaping, we ought to remember the words of the hymn writer. Have thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me. When we go to God, we have to be flexible. Like the psalmist David, when he sinned and fell, and there was a mar in his line, he bent down on his knee and began to pray to God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy, according to your will, blot out my transgression, wash me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Ain't the Lord all right? David also said, I stretch out my hand to thee. My soul thirsts like a parched land. Sisters and brothers, uplifted hands, mirror the soul stretched out to God. For to thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lifted up hands express the inner man and woman's desperate for a response from God. In dedicating the temple, Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord and stretched forth his hands to heaven. He asked God to honor the prayers made toward the temple by those who stretched out their hands toward the house of God. David also calls out, hear my voice and supplication and my cry and help me as I lift up my hands toward the most holy sanctuary. Sisters and brothers, raise hands indicate surrender. Raise hands are a symbol of worship. And raise hands indicate absolute trust in God. That's why the psalmist wrote, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lifted hand means something. Maybe that's why every now and again the elder would say, if I couldn't say a word, I'll just lift my hand. Ain't the Lord all right? As I close, I'm reminded of a story of a grandmother who loved the Lord and served him most of her life. But in her old age, she developed Alzheimer's disease, and it seemed like nobody in the family wanted to take this grandmother in. But her granddaughter said, give me grandmama. Just because she can't remember me, I can remember her, and I remember everything she did for me. As a little girl, The granddaughter had to put special locks on the door so her grandmother wouldn't wander off. Each Sunday morning, she would take her grandmama to the church, and her grandmama would sit there, sometimes with a puzzled look on her face, like she did not know where she was. But every time they would sing this song, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand," the grandmother's hands would go up. They would try to get it or put her hand down. But as long as they were singing a song, her hands were up. One day, her granddaughter was in the back doing some work. She thought she had locked the door. But her grandmother wandered out of the house. About an hour later, the granddaughter came looking for her grandmother. But she wasn't in the house. So she dialed 911. They came out with search dogs and a search team. And they told the daughter, the granddaughter, to stay in the house while they went looking for her grandmother. They started looking, but the sun went down. And round about 10 o'clock, there was a knock at the door. The lead detective said, "Well, I got some good news, and I got some bad news. We found your grandmother, and she's alive." The granddaughter said, "Well, what's the bad news?" They said, "Well, she's on a barge going to the river, floating down the river." The detective said, "Well, we got some folk on the bridge. We got a man who we're going to lower down to try to get hold of her when she passed. So we want you to come with us." They went to the bridge, and when they got there, a helicopter was shining a light on the grandmother as she was floating down the river. They had a man lowered on the rope, ready to grab her. The man who was trying to rescue her said, "I need her to put her hands up. I need your grandmother to put her hands up." And her granddaughter said, "I don't know what to do because she's got Alzheimer's disease." But she stopped hollering, "Grandmama, put your hands up." But her hand stayed down by her side. Then she thought for a minute and she said, "Wait a minute, give me the bullhorn." They gave her the bullhorn. And when she got the bullhorn, she started singing grandmama's favorite song, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand." Grandmama's hands went up. They said, "Keep on singing. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on." They were able to rescue her because she put her hands up. So sisters and brothers, I've got 5 reasons you ought to put your hands up and praise the Lord. Number 1, He's been good. Number 2, He's been good. Number 3, He's been good. Number 4, He's been good. And number 5, He's been good. And He's been good. If you raise your hand in surrender, you'll find out He's a mighty God. Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right?
Hey.
Hallelujah. If you just lift your hands, if you just raise your hand, God looking for flexibility.
Uh-huh.
You may not be perfect,
uh-huh,
but if you're flexible,
uh-huh,
the Lord is able.
Yeah, yeah.
He's able.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know where the Lord has brought some of us from. In the able, in the able, in the able, in the able. Oh, He's able. If we just reach out to Him, the doors of the church are open. Is there one?